Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text is the gospel lesson, which has been read, all the verses, including verse 17. And the title for our meditation this morning is In But Not Under. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved in the Lord, as I've already mentioned, I want to draw your attention to God's holy law, in particular the Ten Commandments. And I want us to think about our relationship to the Ten Commandments, what kind of effect they have in our lives. And that can be kind of tricky. So to do this, I'd like to have sort of maybe what we'll call a thought experiment. Let's say you were required to swim a mile in the ocean. And assuming you got to the end of the mile and you hadn't drowned yet, there was a judge there in a boat waiting for you. And you had to swim that mile perfectly. Now, I think the world record for a mile in the pool was a little over 14 minutes. So we'll say that you are required to finish that mile in 14 minutes flat. And if you haven't drowned yet, and you haven't gotten to the finish line in 14 minutes, then the judge leaves you there in the water until you go below the surface and drown. How do you feel about life right now? It's going to be short. How do you feel about the judge? How do you feel about your calling? I ask because you are called to keep the law perfectly, which is to say, the law requires perfection. And anything that's not perfection, anyone who does not live perfectly is condemned under the law. And when I say keeping the law perfectly, I'm not talking outwardly. I'm talking about the inward attitude of the heart. Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not entering the kingdom of heaven. Because you see, the scribes and the Pharisees actually outwardly looked really good, but inwardly, not so good. Still after number one, still tried to get to the top of the head of the table. Outwardly, they were doing the good things. Inwardly, they were not. And just to prove the point, notice what Jesus does with the Ten Commandments. He does this with other things, but we only heard what he does with the fifth commandment. He says, so in the law you've heard, don't murder. Let me tell you what that really means. It's not simply don't take somebody's life. He's saying, if you're angry, how did he put it? If you insult your brother, you're liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus didn't minimize the law. He made the law stronger. Because you see, keeping the law perfectly is about the inward attitude of the heart. We learn this in catechism class. Let's review. What is the summary of the first table of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The summary of the second table of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do that perfectly. Because anything that's not perfect means that you will slip under the surface, under the condemnation of God's holy righteous law. That's a struggle for me. Is that a struggle for anyone else? I don't get it. I mean, I get the law. I get what's right and wrong. I don't get the severity. I don't. One infraction, we're condemned, even when maybe it's not that big a deal. And after all, I mean, professional swimmers, they at least train. No one expects them to be perfect at the beginning, and yet, what about this? What if, when Jesus says, whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire, what if I called somebody a fool because they were acting like a fool? What if I've been under a lot of pressure lately? What if I was goaded? I don't understand this perfect requirement. I don't understand this, because here's the thing. The law is telling me what to do, but it sure ain't helping me at all. It's not the law is not engendering in me the love of God or the love of my neighbor. It's only demanding it. I don't get it. Doesn't seem fair. Can we talk about that mindset for just a minute then? Because I'm just going to assume that I'm not the only one who kind of thinks that way. And what we need to know is that that mindset is a mess. What does it say that we are more concerned about condemnation than we are concerned about not loving our neighbor? What does it say that we are more concerned with minimizing the law and telling Jesus, well, maybe it's not that big a deal? What does it mean that we are quick to justify ourselves, quick to give reasons for why we did what we did, but we're not quick to regret the fact that we did not love our neighbor as ourselves? Because I tell you what, here's the first thing. By minimizing the law, by saying maybe it's not that bad, I'm not doing the world any favors. Fair? I'm not helping you out by trying to help myself out in that way. But more to the point, not loving our neighbor is a tragedy. Because we were created to love. And that's not just this cheesy sentiment. You know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, see, love is the thing that actually changes lives. Put it this way. We were created so that when we're on the highway and somebody cuts us off, our first thought was supposed to be, I hope that person's having a good day. I hope that person's all right. I hope they're able to see so that they don't get in an accident in the future. That's the way we were created to be. Anybody think that way when they cut you off? See, metaphorically speaking, we were actually created to be in the water and to swim and to work with the water for it to go well. That's the way it was supposed to be. I'll push it just a little bit further. Think about it this way. God created this amazing world. He created these mysterious people all around us. He actually created us with the capacity to take what he has created and make it better so that other people's lives are lifted up because we were part of their lives. That's the power of the love that the law requires. We were created to be able to do that. So the real tragedy, the thing that should really give us heartburn, is that we're not doing that. And if we get more concerned about condemnation and justifying ourselves, if we are saying that the requirements of the law aren't fair, and we don't lament our lack of love, that just says that things are really bad. Now, let's keep with this thought experiment. What if there was someone who swam that mile perfectly, got in at 13 minutes and 50 seconds, and then the judge on the boat still left him in the water so that he slipped under the surface and drowned and died? That doesn't seem very fair. That doesn't make sense. You know where I'm going with this? Jesus, God's own dear Son, came, he says, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he did. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. St. Paul also says in Galatians, he says that we were redeemed by the curse of the law in that Christ became the curse for us. Can you imagine the life of Jesus, where every second, every breath of his life was in perfect love to the Father and submission and in perfect love for his neighbor? He didn't get, when somebody said something to him or looked at him crossly, he didn't go to, what's your problem, and to try to take care of himself. He actually thought about them perfectly his entire life. And yet, he gets hung out on the cross, left alone, for the law to do its worst. He suffered under the full condemnation of the law and its curse. Because as the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That was Christ for you. So I maybe don't understand the law, but I don't understand. I mean, I really don't understand that. That for a sinner like me, who is really good at looking out for number one, the fact that God would give his Son to be the curse for me, I don't understand that. And if I'm honest, I don't understand why God would give his Son to take the curse of the law for you too. But he did. And now, we can say with St. Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Turns out that we died to sin. That's what we heard in the epistle lesson from Ephesians. Romans chapter 6. You actually drowned already, drowned to sin, drowned under the law. It's a historical fact. It happened at your baptism. Do you not know that we who have been baptized into Christ were buried into his death? We were therefore buried with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You were drowned once already. You can't drown again. It happened in your baptism, and your life has now become inseparable with Christ's. So that just as he rose from the dead, so also now you live. The law cannot condemn you. In fact, check this out. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says this. What the law could not do, because it was weakened by sinful flesh, God did by sending his Son for us. So that we who walk according to the Spirit, here's what he says, that now the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Does that sound strange to anybody else? The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. I had to go look this one up in the Greek just to make sure, because I couldn't believe that the Bible says that now the righteous requirement of the law is actually fulfilled in us, by us. How? Because we walk by the Spirit. This is the work of God that he accomplishes in faith. You're not under the law. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. No condemnation. I don't know if you believe me. No condemnation. Let's just say it together. No condemnation. Let's not take that for granted. This is the greatest news that anyone could ever have. No condemnation, and in fact, in this way, this mysterious way that I can't understand, you are actually righteous, holy, perfect. But the law is not going anywhere. So now, how do we relate to the law? We're not under the law. Right? We're the law's not over us anymore. It doesn't condemn us. But we're still in the law. We're not under it, we're in it. And that's important to remember. We are still in the law, and that's good, by the way. The law is good. Because the law, again, the law is simply to love. Anyone want to argue that we shouldn't love one another? I didn't think so. Law is good. Some of you actually enjoy swimming. And so here's the thing. Now that the law no longer condemns us, we're just sort of free to try. We're still in the law, and so we still try to love one another. And let's be honest, the water, it's still sort of like working. I mean, it's not easy yet. It's sort of like, I don't know, you ever seen a little kid try to swim? A lot of energy, not a lot of motion, right? You know how that goes? Let's be honest. We're still kind of maybe there. But there's no condemnation. So we get to try. We are in the law, and God, we're getting better with the Lord willing. By the Holy Spirit, we're swimming better. We are learning to love one another. So that's the news for us today. You got to know that God is serious about the law. It matters. God's so serious about the law that he will actually give his own son to suffer the condemnation of the law so that we would be freed. And the time is coming when we will swim perfectly. Right now, we're still struggling with sin. Not forever. In the meantime, the question is, what are we going to do? Do we want to continue to cling to those sins that were just weighing us down, that didn't do anyone any good? Or do we want to do things that change the world, that bless people, that last? We want to love. I know. Sometimes it's hard. The good news is you're free to try. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.